And I called Pastor Jerry, and he's like, absolutely, amen. So that's just a great thing. And we had actually was trying to get her last year. So I felt very confident we could have a place for her. And then on Easter Sunday, invite people. Easter's the easiest day to get them here. Boom, boom, boom. Beth Stevens. And by the way, Palm Sunday is when Beth Stevens is here. Hosanna. So we're going to be singing that song that morning. But Easter Sunday, our kids are going to be doing something. And some of the people want to ask, do you have anything for our children at Westmont? That is a number one question of churches. They just want to, you got something for my kids. And on the ride home, when people come to church, I saw this the other day. On the ride home, and the kids are in the back, they're going to say, did you have fun? And did you learn anything? And if the kids say, oh, yeah, and get excited about it, then that van will be back the next Sunday. All right? That's just simple as that. Amen. And then we got them. Then we, you know, we can get them to the upper room. Then we got to get them on the train before we can get them to the depot. Amen. And then the third Sunday, Trey Ward, a millennial. So we've got generations, represented, and he will be here on the 8th. And the reason we put Legacy Trio, because I sent him a message last night. I said, Trey, who's going to be with you? And he messaged me back. He said, my mother-in-law is coming. And he said, would you please announce that Legacy was going to be singing? So that's why I adjusted that. And, but you and I, when we talked, as far as we knew, it was just Trey and his wife. So he said, mom-in-law's coming. So if that's all right. So, that's between you and him anyway. Amen. But we got this card, so don't let it go to sit on the counter at your home. Put it, and by the way, this is a postcard. If you want to put a stamp, a return envelope, and an address, mail them. Amen. Mail them. This is a postcard. I promise you, put a stamp on it, address, return address, and make the return address your address. Because if it comes to the church, it'll be a while before you get it. So just put, if you want to put Westmoreland Church in care of you and your address, it'll be fine. Is that okay? Are you excited about this season? This is Easter. This is resurrection season. This is a time for things to live again. And I wish spring would go ahead and spring, wouldn't you? Don't you? Amen. Praise God. Praise God for his presence. And before I get started preaching, let me thank Brother Blue for doing a good job on Wednesday nights filling in. So give him a big hand. He does the words, the overhead. And Brother Joe, we always need to remember Brother Joe is working behind the scenes and making all of us look good. So give him another hand as well. Brother Baker, we love you. He has a passion. Brother Baker is very passionate about these this media ministry. And when I go on Facebook and I see that we've had 54 views, amen. That makes it expands our ministry, amen. And thank the Lord for it. If you're glad to be here tonight, say amen. Surviving the Storm. Beautiful song went right in line with the message tonight. Surviving the storm of death. We've talked about surviving the storms of anger, surviving the storm of discouragement, surviving the storm of unforgiveness, tragedy, loneliness, stress, condemnation, rejection, disappointment. And last Wednesday night, the pastor preached on surviving the storm of unbelief. And Sunday morning, he's going to be talking about spiritual warfare. Sunday night, I'll be talking about resurrection questions. And one of the questions that was asked around the resurrection time, what is truth? And I really, if you've got some young people, and I'm going to ask Pastor Nate to make sure our young people are in, because there's some things that I believe will help them in their facing those situations in school where the truth is questioned. So, and then we've got the special services coming up. Oh, my goodness. I'm just glad to be a part of Westmoreland Church. Amen. Amen. Oh, thank the Lord. Would you stand with me tonight and turn to Matthew chapter 7 and Luke chapter 23. Matthew chapter 7 and Luke chapter 23. We're going to read our main text tonight. We've talked about surviving the storms of all of these others. Tonight we come to the greatest storm of all, the storm of death. But Matthew chapter 7, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Everybody say a rock. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and you don't do them, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house. It fell, and great was the fall of it. Now turn with me to Luke chapter 23, verses 39 through 43. Luke chapter 23, surviving the storm of death. Our first text tells us that storms are coming. So tonight I want to talk to you about someone who would have been considered a hopeless case, someone whom society had given up on, someone whom, if you were to look at that moment, would have thought absolutely nothing could be done further for this person. But this man survived the storm of death and is today with the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't even know his name. So let's read in Luke chapter 23, verse 39. If you're there, say amen. And one of the malefactors, which were hanged, railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, do you not fear God, seeing that you're in the same condemnation? We indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto him, read this with me, Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Let's read the last verse. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Father, thank you that we can survive the storm of death. Anoint your servant to preach the word tonight, and we'll give you praise for this Easter hope in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Turn around and tell somebody you're glad to see him tonight. Amen. Glad to see you tonight. Amen. Amen. In our text tonight in Luke chapter 23, we're reading the account, really, of the second saying of Jesus on the cross. You remember last year we preached on all seven sayings, the cry from the cross. And this is the second saying. And that second statement of Jesus, today you shall be with me in paradise. That second statement from the cross is what gives us hope for surviving the storm of death. You see, we're all going to face death. One person walked by the gravestone of a person who had a poem. Behold and see as you pass by. As you are now, so once was I. As I am now, you must soon be. Prepare for death, you shall follow me. And the person who read that wrote a little note and left it and said, to follow you, I'm not content until I know which way you went. We know we're going to die. But the question that has been asked by philosophers, poets, authors, teachers, the question has been asked by politicians, by musicians and their songs, the question that has been asked by you, the question that has been asked by me, by all, is what happens when we die? What happens at the moment of death? What happens when we leave the surly bonds of earth to touch the face of God? And I believe the answer is found in what Jesus said. When he said unto the thief on the cross, verily, the word verily means truly. The word verily means assuredly. The word verily is a strong imperative in the Greek. It means it's absolutely sure. There is no contradiction, no doubting. Verily. Say that word verily. Verily I say unto you, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Weep not for me, O people. Trust me, as D.L. Moody said, dry your tears, for this is my coronation day. Can you give Jesus a hand of praise tonight for surviving the storms? And that's only proper to believe. If you can survive discouragement, if you can survive loneliness, If you can survive depression, if you can survive somebody's backstabbing you, and if you can survive the doctor's report, if you can survive the fallen economy and the bailouts and the blackouts and the depression, if you can survive all that, brother and sister, I'm telling you, death is a piece of cake. Because if he brought you through depression, if he brought you through disease, if he brought you through debt, if he brought you through sin and sickness, I promise you, he'll bring you through the pearly gates, and you can survive the storm of death. Some glad morning when this life is over, I will fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away. Oh, glory! I'm going to survive the storm of death. One more time, give him a hand of praise here tonight. Amen. Now, how do we survive the storm of death in this passage? Two things I want you to think about, not three. Bless the Lord, I only have 2 points tonight. I've cut both ends off and I'm setting fire on the middle, okay? Somebody say salvation. That's one way to survive. That's really the only way to survive the storm of death. Somebody say salvation. Because when you look at the context, understand the story of the thieves on the cross, one on the left, one on the right. And this fulfilled the scripture, Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 12, that he was numbered with the transgressors. Every part of Jesus' life fulfilled prophecy. A.W. Pink said, at his birth, he was surrounded by the beast of the field. And now at his death, he is numbered with the refuse of humanity. And when you study the entirety of the story, I'm sorry I don't have the scriptural reference, but just take my word for it. But early on in the crucifixion, both thieves of the cross were railing on the Lord. Both of them mocked Jesus. But something happened to one of the thieves on the cross. Something began to change his heart. Until finally he looks at the dying Savior, who he now becomes to realize is his only hope. He goes from railing him and mocking him to hailing him and confessing him when he says, Lord, remember me. And Jesus looks back and says, today you will be with me in paradise. You see, the truth of the matter is that God can save anybody anytime. Might want to share that with your neighbor tonight. I said, God can save anybody, anytime. Anybody. You see, this man had mocked Jesus. He had reviled Jesus. He had a wicked and a horrible life. But something touched his heart. Maybe what touched his heart was the way Jesus was dying. You see, Jesus did not die like ordinary men. Maybe it was the way he suffered and did not rail back to his people who accused him and hurt him. Let me give you a point here tonight. Did you know that you can be a witness for the Lord in your suffering and even in your death? There is such a way to handle the pressures. There's such a way to handle the trials. There's such a way that we can handle our hurts, our disappointments, our setbacks, and our heartbreaks. There's such a way that we can handle even death itself that people will want to cause us, people will want to say, I want what you got. Something about the death of Jesus and the process of it turned that hardened heart and softened it up. You know what old Balaam said, the false prophet, when he tried to curse the children of Israel, and Balaam said, I've tried to curse him, but I can't curse him because he's blessed. And then he said, let me die the death of the righteous and let my last end be like his, even in dying this victory. Even in breathing our last is a hallelujah. We can be a witness in living, and we can be a witness in dying. Whether we live unto the Lord or die. We are the Lord's. I said, God can save anybody. He's just a thief on the cross. And you remember that 11th hour parable in Matthew chapter 20. And I've read that parable for years. I never got it until about a few months ago. I just never got it until a few months ago. And I'll tell you about that later. But the 11th hour workers, you remember the parable when the owner of the vineyard went out at the start of the day and he hired workers.
He went out at the third hour, hired more workers. The sixth hour, he hired more workers. The ninth hour, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he hired more workers. And then the 11th hour, 5 o'clock, he went out and hired the 11th hour workers. And then at the close of the day, the 12th hour, he paid them all the same thing. And those who got hired at 6 in the morning, who had worked all the day, were a little tiffed about the fact that those guys who just came in at the 11th hour got the same thing they got. Oh, let me tell you something, friend. We got to be careful when we bear the burdens of the church. We got to be careful when we bear the burdens of Christianity. There is a wonderful service to the Lord, but it is a burden to do it. And we better not get, better be careful that we don't begin to get prideful, and begin to think we earn God's this. And we're going to stroll right into heaven because we went to Sunday school 52 years. No, sir, let me tell you something. We're all thieves on the cross. And if it were, it's a privilege. You know what they should have said? They shouldn't have said, "Why didn't you pay me more?" They should have thanked him that they had more time to enjoy working for the Lord and serving the Lord. Friend, this is not something I got to do. Praise God, I get to preach. I get to glorify God. I get to show up at church. I get to be an usher. I get to be a Sunday school teacher with a bunch of snotty-nosed kids. It's a privilege. Y'all still with me out there? It's a privilege. Come on, amen, tonight. And that thief on the cross, he didn't write any gospel books. He didn't write 2/3 of the New Testament. He didn't see. And you know, one day, we're gonna see Billy Graham, thank the Lord. And one day, there's gonna be David Livingston, who traipsed up and down the back of the African continent and said, "Bury my heart in Africa." And one day, we're gonna see, William Carey, who said, that he must preach the gospel to India, the father of modern missions. One day, I'm gonna see my great grandma. But let me tell you something, there's gonna be those thieves. There's going to be people like my daddy that got saved in the last 10 minutes of his consciousness, because God can save anybody, anytime. Don't you give up. Hallelujah. People say, "Well, I don't believe in deathbed repentance." Well, then just throw this scripture right out the door. Repeat after me. God can save anyone, anytime. But let me tell you something. Don't wait. If you're watching by live stream, don't wait any time. Now is the time. This minute, be saved. And then not only do we see that God can save anybody anytime, but we see the nature of salvation. Because notice in the thief's conversion, we have all the elements of true salvation. First of all, he acknowledged his sin. Look at, I don't have it, for the New Living Translation puts it a lot clearer. The thief on the cross said, "Don't you fear God even when you are dying?" We deserve to die for our evil deeds. That thief on the cross acknowledged his sin. Did you know that to be saved, you must acknowledge your sin? "Well, I'm a good person, Pastor. I'm telling you, I donated to the Shriners Fish Fry last year, and I bought 32 eggs from the women's ministries at Westmoreland, and I'm not Jeffrey Dahmer or Adolf Hitler or Moose, you know, all these guys, but what it is you've got self-righteousness and you don't even know it. You've got to acknowledge your sin. "Father, I have sinned. I have sinned against you." People are egomaniacs and they're strutting their way to hell thinking they're too good to be damned. But we are all condemned, all lost. We are all the thief on the cross. Now, you may be a refined thief, or you may be a billionaire thief, you may be a Bill Gates thief, but let me tell you, please understand, the thief on the cross acknowledged his sin. "I am undone." He acknowledged his sin, but then he acknowledged his Savior. He said unto him, "Lord." Somebody say the word "Lord." People say, "Well, you can know Jesus as Savior and not know him as Lord. That is false teaching. That is not scriptural. Really? I was reading about Lord Nelson. Lord Nelson, you akin to him? He was the commander of the British Navy. You might be related, Pastor. Lord Nelson in the battle against the French. The British had defeated the French. Thank you, Jesus. And the French, because if the French had won, we'd all be Catholics tonight. Just thought I'd throw that in there. See, you see a lot of God in history. Amen. The British had defeated the French, and nothing against the French. We love French people. Let me say that quick. French fries. Amen. The British had defeated the French, and the French admiral came over to Lord Nelson's ship, command ship, to surrender. And he walked up, the admiral of the French. He had all his regalia on, and he had a sword by his side, his ceremonial sword by his side. And so he put out his hand to Lord Nelson to shake his hand. And Lord Nelson stood there and said these words. He said, "Your sword first." Y'all catch that? He wasn't going to shake his hands with him. He wasn't there to be a buddy with him. He was there to accept surrender. And my friend, we have to lay down our good deeds. We have to lay down our defenses. We have to acknowledge our sin. And we have to acknowledge the price that our Savior paid. Sin is ugly. It is awful. We are guilty as charged, and we are guilty and condemned. But thanks be unto God, to survive death, He has provided this wonderful thing called salvation. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? If you are tonight, give Him a hand of praise tonight. Amen. Amen. So number one, our salvation. And the second thing I want you to notice about in this text tonight is our destination. To survive death, you got to be saved and you got to have salvation. And to survive death, you got to know that you're headed to the right destination. Because look, notice one of the greatest questions is, what happens when I die? A little girl was cutting through the cemetery and her friends asked her, "Why would you cut through the cemetery?" And she told them, "Because it's the shortest way to get home." And whether we like it or not, unless the rapture takes place, we're going home through the cemetery. It's the quick way home. And when it comes to the question of what happens when we die, this second saying of Jesus puts it in all perspective. And this refutes the era of soul sleep. That when a person dies, they are unconscious until the resurrection. There are people that take scriptures and talk about sleeping, that when a person dies, that they're in the body and their soul is asleep and they will not become revived again until the resurrection of the last day. Well, I'm going to show you that that is not true. When the Bible says that a person is sleeping, it is always referring to the body, but not to the soul. You see, when you die, yes, your body is, in a sense, figuratively asleep. Like some people fall asleep when I'm preaching. Amen. I notice nobody falls asleep when the pastor preaches. So I'm just saying, I just watch. You know, who can fall asleep? Amen. But I'll tell you that this is what happens at the moment of death. You're not going to take a snooze for 1,000 years until you hear Gabriel's trumpet. Let me tell you what happens. The Bible said to the thief on the cross, "Today you will be with me." Where? Now both Jesus' body and the thief's body went to sleep. But their spirits were alive today, not sometime in the future, not in a little while. In other words, we believe and teach that when we die, instantly, at a moment, we are in the presence of the Lord. The Bible says, therefore, we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Our last breath here is our first breath there. Stephen was being stoned. They were hurling stones at him. Those stones hit his physical body. But he looked up in the sky, and what did he say, church? He said, I see Jesus. And that's what happens at the time of death. What happens? We see Jesus. And brother, that's surviving the storm of death. Amen. I'm looking forward to seeing my loved ones. We will see our loved ones in heaven. We'll be gathered into our people. There's no question about that. Six times the Bible says we'll be gathered to our people. There'll be a family reunion in heaven. We'll see the saints gone on before, and we'll meet the saints. We'll have all eternity. We're not going to be in a hurry. You know what? We live in a constant hurry here. I'm in a hurry right now because I know in about 8 minutes, Brother Elam's going to ring that bell. So I'm trying to rush this thing. Can you imagine in heaven, pastor preaching on Sunday morning and don't have to worry about it. Just preach right on. And nobody leaves because nobody's tired. Nobody's got anywhere to go. We're already where we're going. Amen. Heaven, you're going to have nobody tailgating you on the highway if we have cars in heaven. I doubt we have cars in heaven. I doubt we'll need cars in heaven. That's another subject for another day. Jesus just appeared. And the Bible says we'll be like him. Amen. We will not be confined by I love Star Trek, the space-time continuum. Anybody watch Star Trek? The space, Brother Blue, you're my man. I'm telling you, brother, I love it. The space-time, oh, hallelujah, won't it be wonderful there, having no burdens to share. I done forgot the rest, but it's going to be wonderful there. Give him a hand of praise tonight. Hallelujah. That's where we're going. He said, this day you shall be with me in paradise. When we leave this body, we're going somewhere. Paul said, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. He did not say the time of my death is at hand. Notice the wording. He didn't say the time of my death is at hand. He said the time of my, woo, glory. Yeah. You know what a departure is? You depart from, a departure implies arrival somewhere. Depart here, arrive there. Yeah. You got a plane at Raleigh, RDU, departure, so-and-so date at 11 o'clock, and your arrival is such-and-such place at 3 o'clock. Praise God, we have a departure. We're going to that place where the roses never fade, where the streets are gold and the gates are pearl. And what does the pastor say? Where every meal is a banquet. Amen. What's the other part about it? Every step is a thrill. Amen. And the streets are paved with gold. I tell you what. Praise God, we're going to a place. Anybody going to a place? I read this and I thought about this tonight. And listen, we're going somewhere better. They shall beat their swords in the plowshares, their spears in the pruning hooks. They shall study war no more. And the lion shall lay down with the lamb, and the child shall play over the hole of the cockatrice's den. And the glory of the Lord shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. No more abortion clinics. No more vulgarity. No more cursing. No more murder. No more clogged court systems. It is going to be no more cancer. Heart disease, Brother Tom. Amen. No more headaches. You're not going to have, I got a little light headache today. No more hunger. Do you know a lot of people in the world are hungry? I'm talking about true hunger. I'm not talking about, you know, where we just have that little empty feeling. But No more darkness. Satan will be bound in the millennial reign, and then he'll be destroyed for the eternal ages to come. Christian, lift up your head. Smile a while. You're advertising for the world to come. And if, and the way some of us look, people don't want to sign up, and it's because of us. Come on. We've got to have joy unspeakable and full of glory, because the half has yet been told. We just might shout a little bit tonight. Hallelujah. You know why I love the baptism of the Holy Ghost so much? I love the fact I'm not against any other church, any other denomination. You know that. You know Ricky Nims. Some of my favorite preachers are Southern Baptist preachers. Man, those guys can shuck the corn. I'm sorry to say, but they outpreach some of our, I'll go to Falcon and I'm over there about to fall asleep, and I'm like, I'll put on a CD from a Southern Baptist preacher and get revived. And I'm not saying that against our preachers either. Please understand that. It don't matter who the preacher is, as long as they're anointed. Amen. The anointing makes the difference. But I'm here to tell you, we have got to preach it. We've got to love it. We've got to be a witness. We've got to sign people up. We got to hand out cards. That's why we're, praise God, that's why we're handing out cards, because we want, and the reason I love the baptism of the Holy Ghost so much is because it, to me, it's a little bit of a feeling of what it's going to be like all the time. It's a deposit of glory to come. Well, I'm awfully tempted to cheat on my taxes, cheat on my wife, cheat on my husband. I'm awfully tempted to look at things I ought not to look at, or to drink things I ought not to drink. Hold it for a minute. What you give up, Jesus said, great will be your reward in heaven. Don't worry about losing a home. Don't worry about losing somebody's relationship if they dump you or divorce you. Listen, it hurts, but for the moment, pull yourself together. We're not here forever. We're going to graduate. We're going to a place. Thank God for the hope of glory. And you know, we ought to have this hope in us at all times. Can I get an amen? We're going to a place. The book is called Heaven Is For Real. Has anybody read that book? Heaven, raise your hand high. Heaven Is For Real. I have read a lot of books. Randy Alcorn's got some good stuff. I haven't read his stuff, but I know it's good, because everything he writes is good. But this book, a lady, I'm real careful when people have these heaven experiences, and some of them are just too far out. I just take it with a grain of salt. And so I had this lady at the church I was pastoring one time, and she said, oh, brother, you got to read this book. And I really didn't want to read it. But finally she got on me enough, so I read it. And when I started reading it, I couldn't put it down. It's about a little boy, about 3 years of age, who got sick with appendicitis, and the doctors misdiagnosed him. And they sent him home, and he got worse, and he got worse, and he got worse. And they finally brought him to the hospital, and he was about to die. In fact, he did die. And the parents didn't know he died. The doctors, I don't know if they acknowledged he died or not, but when he got home and he got well, he started saying things to his daddy. His daddy was a preacher. And he started saying things that a three-year-old boy really wouldn't understand. And he talked about God being three people. Well, how does a three-year-old know about the Trinity? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's like, really? You saw God? Yeah. He saw his granddaddy. And his granddaddy had died in the 70s. This little boy was born in the late 90s. And so his dad showed him a picture of that would be his grandfather. It would be his great-grandfather. And showed him a picture. But he showed him a picture of him when he was older, you know, gray hair and everything like that. And he looked at it and he said, no, Daddy, that's not my great-grandfather. That's not who it is.
And so the daddy didn't think anything about it until sometime later they were going through some old pictures of the great grandfather, and he didn't know that was, he had never had seen that picture. He said, "Oh daddy, there's granddaddy. That's the one I talked to in heaven. Glory to God." Isn't that awesome? Amen. I mean, the outward body gets older, but our spirit is renewed day by day. He renews our youth like the eagle. We're not going to be limping around and all of that in glory. We're going to be released from this body. Amen. And probably the thing that touched my heart the most was, "Daddy, did you know that I had a little sister? And my little sister and I, we talked. And she's so happy, Daddy." He had no way of knowing, no way of knowing at 3 years old. He couldn't even understand what a miscarriage was. Friend, this day you shall be with me in paradise. What a wonderful thought that we can survive the storm of death. Can you give him a hand of praise here tonight? Amen. Heaven, happy home above. Was it?
Yes.
Was it, Pastor? Heaven?
Land of peace and love.
Land of peace and love. Oh, it makes me feel like traveling on. I want the kids to come in because I'm going to close with an illustration. Today, you shall be with me in paradise. Say that with me. Today, you shall be with me in paradise. And by the way, we don't know when that day will be. Your today could be today. My today could be today. Your today could be 50 years from now. But let me close with this. Now that all the kids are in here and everybody's settled, and I want to close. And Pastor, I want you to come up, and I would like for you to come up, sir, if you don't mind. And I'm going to play a little bit on the piano. But his name is Jim Elliott. Jim Elliott got a burden for an Indian tribe in South America. Him and some friends prayed. They were young. And this tribe had never been reached. Very vicious tribe, a cannibalistic tribe. And for those of you that don't know what the word cannibal is, it basically means when humans eat other humans. Okay? They were taking a big risk. They flew into the jungles of South America. They had prepared for it. They prayed, fasted. But they were sold out to Jesus. Is anybody here tonight sold out to Jesus? And they knew they were taking a risk. Their wives went with them. And so as they got into the jungles of South America, and they began to engage this hostile tribe of Indians there in South America. I don't have time to go through the story. It's in a movie called The End of the Spear, a movie you should all watch. Tragically, those Indians killed Jim Elliott after being there just a few weeks, killed him and his colleague. Their wives escaped with their lives. And can you imagine the devastation? Here you are, you want to reach this group of people. You want to give your life. You were hoping to reach the gospel to them so that they would become saved. You risked your life. You risked your comfort. You go there, and the very people you're trying to help, they kill you. Can you imagine how terrible that is? Well, here's the deal. Through the death of Jim Elliott and his colleagues, sometime later, the wives and another group went back to those same Indians that had killed them. And through the death of Jim Elliott, they were given an opportunity. They were able to go back and reach them. And because of that love, because the Indians were like, "We killed your husband, and now you're coming back to help us." And that opened their heart. That was the crack to open their heart. Tragically, Jim Elliott lost his life. But let me tell you what he said.
one day, some years before he died, when they said, "Are you sure you want to go down there? Are you sure you want to risk your life? Are you sure you may even die? You're young. Your whole life is ahead of you. You can pastor a nice church." But Jim Elliot said these words. He said this. Are y'all listening? Say amen. "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose." Would you stand with me tonight? Stand with me tonight. Pastor, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep, my life, to gain that which he cannot lose, my life in heaven. Today, you will be with me in paradise. When Jim Elliot died, tragedy here, but he went to paradise. And because of that, others are going to paradise. And I want to ask you tonight, are you ready? Should your day be today? Would you bow your heads tonight? And Father, help us, Lord, to survive the storm of death. Help us to be willing to give up that which we cannot keep. Relationships, money, fame, fortune. We cannot keep it, Lord. One day we must relinquish it. Help us to give up what we cannot keep and to gain which we cannot lose. And that is eternal life. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Will you give up your friends that you can't keep anyway in the long, long term? Hopefully you can. Would you give up reputation, what people think? Would you give that up in order to gain what you can never lose, eternal life and salvation? Would you give up the high of drugs? Would you give up the stench of alcohol, that which will only destroy you? Will you give it up in order to gain that which you can never lose, that which alcohol can never give you? And that is peace and the joy that God comes, that comes through salvation. If that's you tonight, would you just lift up your hand and say, "Pastor, I want to get that which I cannot lose." Anybody here? I see hands lifted. Anybody here this morning, this evening? I feel like I'm preaching on Sunday morning. Samantha, I see your hand back there. Fellas, I see your hand up here as well. Pastor, I want you to take the altar call from here because I believe there's some people who want to give up what they can never keep to gain what they cannot lose.
And play something on the piano. It's a great sermon he's just preached. I want to invite everybody that was not in here to go out and look at this on Facebook, YouTube. But if you're here tonight, if you've never been saved, and the Lord is talking to you, and you feel your need of salvation, and the Spirit is calling you, can't come until the Spirit calls you. When he bids you come, that's the time to come. Pastor Ricky just preached on the thief that was on the cross, and all he prayed was, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said, "Today shall you be with me in paradise." We all have an appointment with death. I want to ask, is there anyone inside these walls tonight that you want to come down now and receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Be my privilege to lead you in that prayer if you're here. If you're watching by Facebook live stream, and you don't know how to be saved, one man said it's as easy as ABC. Just believe. Admit you're a sinner. Believe in your heart that Jesus bore your sins. He died upon the cross as your sin substitute. And you just confess him with your mouth. I want some of the ladies to come down, please. And
I cherish the old rugged cross. Oh, till my truth is at last I lay down. I will cling,
come on, lift your hands,
to the old rugged cross. Oh, and exchange it someday for a crown. So I'll choose.